So I was in Haiti and working at an orphanage, helping out, and decided I wanted to get out of there and explore some different parts of the country. A friend of mine had a motorcycle, so I quickly learned how to ride a motorcycle and got on the road, put my backpack on the back of the bike, and started driving. And I was heading towards a town called Jeremy, where some guy does a lot of stuff, environmental work, you know, a good 2 days drive away. So it took me about 3 hours to get out of Port-au-Prince, just because the traffic is so tight. Being on a motorcycle is a lot easier because you can squeeze between cars, and meanwhile the buses are actually literally scraping against each other as they're trying to like fit through the town. Get riding out of town and roads open up a little bit. And not really sure where to go. I didn't know how to speak Haitian. I just knew a couple words on how to ask for directions. And usually some old guy would point in one direction, and so I just keep on driving that way. In town, the rules of the road are that if you have a motorcycle, you can go anywhere. You can drive up on the curb, you can get around, you can drive through the sidewalks. It's easier to get around town on a motorcycle. But the rules of the road change once you get on the open roads. There, it's the biggest vehicle has the right of way. So I could be driving down the road and see a truck coming at me, and then another truck passing that one, and then a front unloader passing that one, and a guy with a semi blasting down. And the only place, since I'm the smallest one, it's my job to get out of the way. So it's often down in the ditch on the side of the road and back on. The first obstacle I came to was the road was washed out. A bridge was washed out. But I found some kids who had a little boat, and I paid them a little bit of money, and they put my motorcycle on the boat, and we rode across the river to get to the other side. And now I'm getting out in the mountains, and even out there, there's hardly any trees left. Everything's been cut down for farming. And it starts to get nighttime, and I'm looking for a place to sleep. The vision I had in my head was to find someplace on a beach where I could set up my hammock and just call it a night. And so I pulled in, got on this road that kind of went down to beach, and saw an old house with a bunch of people sitting around, and was able to communicate that I was looking for a place to pitch my hammock. And the old man pointed to his teenage son, and he had a motorcycle too, and he waved for me to follow him. And he took me down to this, basically a picnic pavilion down along the side of the beach. And I gave him some money and set my hammock up. But before my hammock was set up, all the villagers all around were standing around just watching. And just sitting there. And so I went out for a swim, came back in, I was ready to go to sleep. And they're all just kind of standing around, seeing this white person out there. And one kid spoke English. He's probably about 15, little English. And he kept saying that he wanted to be my security guard. And I didn't need a security guard. You know, I had a knife with me, felt I could take care of myself. But he kept saying, you know, something about, yeah, I'll watch guard. And I'm thinking, all night long, just sitting there, and I thought he was just asking for money. Anyway, eventually the people left, and it's nighttime, and I'm sleeping in my hammock, and I see a motorcycle light come by. It kind of startles me awake, and I'm laying there, and he stops for a moment, kind of circles around, and then takes off. And I go back to sleep. And then the next time I wake up, there's several flashlights staring at me, and I get my flashlight and point out, and there's a couple guns pointed at me, and I get out, and it's the police. And they check my registration on my motorcycle and ask me what I was doing there. And couldn't really communicate well with them, but they told me to get in the back of the police car. They had another policeman take my motorcycle, and we drove off further north. And I think what they were saying is that they're there to protect me. Earlier that day, I'd seen a whole bunch of UN military trucks with the big assault things parked alongside the road, and apparently there have been some bandits who have been trying to take over Haiti in that part of the country, and the police officers thought that I might be a good ransom bait for them, so they wanted to keep me safe. So they took me up to the police station, which, by the way, was right along the coast of the water with the breaking waves, exactly what I was looking for. So the chief of police got out and went into a jail cell and he took his mattress and belongings out and put it out in the flat courtyard out front. And he insisted that I take his bed. Because I'm a guest, I get to sleep in the best cell. And everybody else laid outside watching karate movies, American karate movies. I got in the cell. In the morning I woke up and they told me, hey, if I ever get into trouble with anybody, if other police officers come by, here's my card, you can take it. But they said, don't go north. It gets really remote up there and you may not be able to get your bike through. So go for the middle route. So I take off south and I drive down and I'm trying to find the road to Jeremy. And I come across the UN headquarters and I pull in there and talk to some people who can speak some English, and they gave me directions on how to get up over these mountains. So I'm on my motorcycle driving and driving, and pretty soon the roads turn into dirt and river crossing, and I'm hoping I don't have my bike tip over as I'm crossing these little rivers higher and higher in the mountains, higher and higher. I finally get up to the very top of this mountain, and by now it's dark. And there's a little village there. And so I turn around to, I think just to get directions, like how much further it is down the hill to Jeremy. And this woman, I can't remember what her name was, she insisted I stay there for the night. And so I pull in and I stay at her house, and she's got cousins and other people that live in the house. No adults. In Haiti, a lot of people died in the hurricane, so there's a lot of kids and teenagers looking after each other and managing these families. And her husband had died in the hurricane, in the earthquake. So I stayed there, and the next day, gave him some money, and they went out and made some delicious food and made it for me. But that night, my eye was starting to irritate me, because I was wearing my contacts. Took my contact out, and I think I'd maybe left one of them in or slept with it when I was the night in the jail. But my eye is really starting to bother me, so I didn't feel like I could really drive anywhere that day, so I was going to rest a little bit. So they let me stay at their house a little bit longer. And by the next day, I couldn't see. One eye was completely, I could hardly see out of it. The other one, it is just really blurry, and especially if I took my sunglasses off, any kind of sunlight at all would have prevented me from, being able to open my eyes at all. So I had a couple choices. I could stay up at this village in the mountains and hope things got better, maybe somebody could get some medicine, or I could head back to Port-au-Prince, and where I knew there were doctors. And I realized that there was no medical hope for me up in the mountains. I had to get back to Port-au-Prince. So the next morning I got on my bike and just with my eyes squinted closed and just hoping I could make it to Port-au-Prince before my eyes got any worse. A 5-hour drive, which in the United States would take an hour and a half, but there the roads are so bad, it was 5 or 6 hours. Finally pulled into Port-au-Prince, called a friend of mine, and she goes, A friend of mine is the president of Haiti's medical director and the UN representative of health for Haiti. Call him in the morning I'll call him in the morning and see if I can get an appointment for you. So she did. So she told me where to go, and I couldn't ride my bike anymore at that point. My eyes were too bad, so I hopped on a little taxi thing called Pus Pus and got up to his medical place and long lines of people outside, and he walked around and kind of greeted everybody. And he saw me and pulled me in front of everybody else and gave me treatment. And I said, well, what caused this? He goes, there's just so much garbage and trash and filth in the air. Anything can happen. So I spent a couple of weeks on antibiotics and ointments and stuff in my eyes, and got good enough to continue my journey in Haiti. And that's where I'm going to stop this story, but there's lots of other Haiti stories.